picture that I have a word. But while we were singing, I saw the Lord stand up. I saw him stand. He takes his place among the nations. I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost as he stands up, he's shaking the dust of the world off of him. He's just standing up and towers above everything else around. You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the, because this kind of goes along with the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had. But there's this giant he's got a leg on each continent, across Europe and Asia and across to the United States. And he's just standing. But I feel like God is just raising himself up right now. And he's shaking off the loose impediments. He's shaking off the things that have covered him and hidden him for all the ages. But he says, I'm taking my stand. I am revealing myself for all to see who will look. I am revealing myself in these days, saith God. I'm giving of who I am, that those who see and those who choose to hear will walk in my power, and they shall see the things that I've said come to pass. Not in days long time from now, but in these days, saith God. In these days you shall see and behold these things, for I am already shaking my body. And those who belong to me will rise, and those who don't will be revealed for what they are. And like the dust, they shall fall off of me, and they shall fall to the ground from which they are, for they shall return to dust. But those who belong to me, they shall return to me, says God, and they shall live in my power and in my spirit in these days. So look unto me. Look to the time of my appearing, but don't watch to the sky yet, for it's not that time. But look for my appearing in your heart. Look for my appearing in your politics and in your nation. Look for my appearing in industry. Look for my appearing in the will of the people that I have chosen, for I will raise them up in these days to be my voice and to be a conscience, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you ready for the word this morning? I want you to turn, we'll get there in a little bit, but turn to John 14:23. We'll catch up with you here in a little bit, but go to John 14:23. As you do that, repeat with me our favorite Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. You know, we've had out and out miracles on that. This is one of the verses Nancy's been holding on to. He always leads me in victory. Always leads me in victory. We've got other people that have literally seen miracles happen because they held on to this verse. This is vital. And it tells us so much about God that God looks over, I think this is in Proverbs, he looks over his word to perform it. It's either Proverbs or Psalms, but he watches over his word to perform it. In other words, and this is so important for today's message, God wants to do what he said he'll do through you. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. The only reason, I'm already getting ahead of myself. You want some preaching? The only reason God doesn't do what he wants to do in you through the word that he's spoken over you is because you won't cooperate. Now, what does that mean? It means if we would cooperate, what God could do. I'm going to think about that. Don't get hung up on, well, I'm just not cooperating. Pastor said, I'm not cooperating. That's not cooperating. If you cooperate, let God be God. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. If you hear the voice, or if you obey the voice of God and obey and keep his commandments, you will be blessed. How many want to be blessed? How do you get blessed? Do what God told you to do. Hear and obey. Isn't that hard? I mean, God is so complicated. He's not really. But he'll take care of the details. If we will hear and obey, God will do everything else. God will organize things. God will do things. But we've got to hear and obey. And obey is a big part. I'm already ahead of myself in the message, but we're going to come back to that point, and not in that way, but we'll come back to that point. You know, the first Sunday this year, God spoke to us, deep calls unto deep. And he said, you cannot know me apart from me, says the Lord. And that was January 4th. And he's still dealing with us on that. And this series is called Deep Calls to Deep. And this is number 6 in that series. Now, there are several things that we've heard and we've already learned from God about deep calling to deep. One, God knows our hearts. Number 2, David in Psalm 42 learned to speak to his soul. And he said, hope, trust in God. That's what he told his soul. When his soul is discouraged, when his soul, things are not going right, when he's in trouble, he told his soul, soul, trust, hope in God. This is what your job is, soul. You will hope in God. You will hope in God. You know, in hard times, you've got to tell yourself that. You've got to talk to yourself of what you want, not what you have. You've got to speak faith instead of just, well, this is what I have. Because the Bible says faith calls things that are not as though they are. He says you don't need faith if you already have it. You know, the illustration I use so often is if I'd go around, Lord, I want a wife. I want a wife. In Jesus' name, God, I'm calling a wife. I'm calling a wife. I want a wife. I want a marriage, God. I want a woman that loves me. I want a healthy, strong marriage, God. Lord, give me a wife. Give me a wife. Give me a wife. And somebody said, Gordon, aren't you married? Yes, I am. Do you have a good wife? Yes, I do. Well, why are you going around confessing that you want a good wife? You already have one. I said, I know, but I don't want to lose it. Now, that's not faith. It's disbelief. Because I'm trying to call something that I'm saying I don't have because I'm calling into existence what I don't have. So I'm trying to walk in faith, but I'm actually in doubt because my root core is at that point is I don't trust Debbie. She could walk out on me anytime. You know, God's like that. He could just walk out on you anytime. No, he won't. And Debbie won't either. Amen. You understand that? But so often we're trying to walk in faith. It's like, well, all your faith is just expressing your doubt. Oh, that's good preaching. I'm telling you. You got to watch what you got to learn to talk to yourself. Lord, I'm going to talk to my soul, and I'm going to tell my soul, regardless of what I see, feel, regardless of any of my circumstances, I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to trust his word. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to hear. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what the Lord tells me to do. The third thing we learned is God is for us. Now, why does God speak to you? He wants to bless you. God is for you. There are so many Christians that don't have this settled. They don't know that God is for them. Well, I hope God. No, there's no hoping in God. There is God. In God, I trust. In God, I hope. But I'm not, oh God, I don't know if you're going to do that. No, he either will or he won't. If you've got a promise on it, he will do it. Amen. He watches over his word to perform his word. Amen. So we know, well, the Bible even says if we pray and we know God hears us, we know we have the things we've requested of him. We already know that. If we've prayed, if we believe God, if we pray, we know God hears it. Some people say, well, my prayers only get as high as the ceiling. No, they don't. They go all the way to the throne room. God hears every prayer. But if you don't believe that God hears, how can you believe you have the answer? I'm giving you a bunch of nuggets right now, but settle on them. If you know God's heard you, then you have faith that you have the things that you've asked of him. Amen. This all has a point to it. The fourth thing is the Spirit of God helps us. Oh, thank you, God. The Holy Spirit makes intercession. When we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we don't understand things, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. When we don't know the next step, the Holy Spirit shows us things to do. Amen. He will show us things to come so we can prepare for them if we will listen to him. The Spirit of God will help you. Isn't that wonderful? Not only is God on your side, not only that, but he will help us. He will help you do what he wants you to do. Amen? And the fifth thing that we learned last week, God's wisdom or his spirit is calling out. Now, this morning I want to deal with what is the deep of God's call? What is the deep? What's the depth of his call to us? I want to go back to the word from January 4th. It says, deep call, and this isn't total, but I'm lifting up certain things in this. Deep calls unto deep. You cannot know me apart from me, says the Lord. You've heard things. You've seen things. But my deep is calling to your deep. My spirit is calling to your spirit, saying, come unto me, come unto me. I sent my son to bring in the kingdom of God into the realm of this natural world. Did you hear that? I sent my son to bring the kingdom of God into the natural realm. He didn't come to call us out and go to heaven. He sent his son, he sent his spirit, that the kingdom of God would manifest itself, its power, its demonstration in this life. Amen. He goes on to say, I didn't create my kingdom for you to hear about. Some of us are just content to hear. So I didn't create my kingdom for you to hear about. I created it for you to live in. This is a way of living. This isn't something that you study. This isn't something that you do a research paper on. This is a way of life. The kingdom of God is how we are to live. We're to live inside that kingdom, demonstrating that kingdom in everything we say and do. Amen? So he says, so come, live in my kingdom. Seek out my glories, and you shall walk in them. Now, you've got to seek it out. You got to seek these things out. They don't just fall on you. I know sometimes we think they do, but it's usually after we've done some seeking, after we've done some searching, after we've done some crying, then they seem to fall on us, but it's because God has heard our prayers and he's given us the things we've asked for because we believe we receive them. It says, seek out my glories and you shall walk in them. For as you believe, so shall you see. Now, that's curious. Let me dissect that a little bit. As you believe, so shall you see. We think seeing is will create a faith or create a belief. But what you believe creates what you see. When you believe God, you will see the kingdom of God. When you believe the world, you will see the kingdom of the world. When you see death and destruction, you will have it. You're believing that. And you start to walk in that because you believe everything's going against. You know, have you ever, Murphy's Law? Ever heard of Murphy's Law? If anything wrong can happen, it'll happen to you. That's the summation of Murphy's Law. If you believe that, you say, well, it always works out that way for me. Well, why? Because that's what you believe. You believe if there's anything that can go wrong, it'll go wrong. I get around a lot of people, and some people say, you know, I just believe nobody really likes me. Well, why do you believe that? Well, everybody keeps rejecting me. Nobody accepts me. Nobody receives me. I don't have any friends. Well, why don't you have any friends? Because I believe nobody likes me. Well, if you start believing differently, you could change your outcome. Well, I know you say that, but I just believe people don't want me. You know, we see it in churches. We are so spiritual. Nobody wants what we have. Well, that's what you believe. That's what you get. Nobody likes super spiritual people. Nobody likes people that are so snobby spiritual. Nobody likes, it's like, they can go other places and get built up. They don't have to, well, I'm just so holy. I'm just so perfect. I just know so much. Really? See, what you see or what you believe is what you will see. If you believe that God is for you, that you have favor with man and with God, guess what? People will like you because you have favor, because you believe right. If you believe right, you'll see right. If you see right, you'll live right, and you'll live in the blessings of God. Amen? He goes, for as you believe, so shall you see, for this is that day, declares the Lord. So we've got to believe right. Amen. We've got to believe what God believes so we can see what God sees, meaning we can see it manifest in our lives around us. And then he goes on to say, this is that day of my kingdom come, of my will be done in the earth, even as it is done in heaven. Now, that's an awesome statement. This is that day. That day I just told you about, today's the day. Today is that moment in time in history. It's that day today. Jesus, when he walked on the earth, he said, I came to demonstrate to you and to show you the kingdom of God is present with you. Some people believed and they entered in the kingdom of God. Some people didn't believe. They never did see it. because they chose not to believe that God would come into their life. There are still people today, they just don't believe that God will do all these things. Oh, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't believe it'll work for me. Well, you're right, it won't work for you. Why? Because you're believing wrong. And because you believe wrong, it produces what you see, and so you have what you believe. It's really pretty simple, but it's a hard thing to get into us and to get our understanding wrapped around. Now, have you found John 14:23? Listen to this. Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, the key commandment is you got to love him. You got to agape him. You've got to love God. He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So we've got to love God. Say, oh, I got to love God. It's like, that ought to be a happy thing. You know, it's kind of like husbands and wives. You can tell a lot sometimes when the Bible says, you know, the Bible tells a man, well, the Bible says that a husband is to love his wife, even as Christ loved the church. You mean I got to love her? You know you're in trouble right there. I can live with her. I can tolerate her. You mean I got to love her? Yeah, you got to love her. You got to make that choice. I'm gonna love her. But do you know what kind of a person she is? I know, but I got to love her. So if you have to love her, you got issues. You get to love her. Because he who finds a wife, all the women say it with me, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. So how many men want to have favor with the Lord? Love your wife. Because he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So you need to look at your wife and say, you're my good thing. You're my blessing, amen. We're in marriage healing right now. We're going to get this stuff all right. I choose to love. I choose to be this way. Why? Because that's how God is. Because God loves her. Now, Debbie told me this. This is a rabbit trail. But Debbie told me this when we got married, and she had to convince me of it. Because I accepted it, but it's like, yeah, whatever. It sounds spiritual. But she says, God brought you into my life. She says, he caused you to move from Oklahoma to two blocks away from me so we could meet and get married. Yeah, sounds cute. You know, that was kind of my attitude. Yeah, whatever, honey. If you want to believe that, that's okay. And the longer I live with Debbie and realize how much of a gift and a good thing she is to me, did you know that God caused my family to move from Oklahoma to within two blocks of this fine woman so we could meet and marry? God did that. See, I'm a late bloomer, but I'll get it sometime. Amen? But see, God is working in our lives and doing all these wonderful things because he loves us. God gave Debbie to me. And she always said, I liked it. God gave you to me. Go, yeah, honey, he sure did. But then I started realizing, but God gave Debbie to me. Now, he gave her to me so that I would love her as God loves her, so that I would protect her as God protects her. He gave her to me so I could show the love of the Father for her. And he has given Debbie to me to show his love toward me. Now, if we both walk in that, we're walking in blessing, aren't we? But if one of us doesn't walk in that, I don't believe that God gave you to me. It's like, well, you believe and you will have what you believe. And you'll see those things come to pass in your life. Amen or oh me, but it takes two. Amen. Anyway, he says, if you love me, if you keep my word. Now, his word, get this, his word is spirit and it is life. Again, we tend to look at, keep his word. Oh, here we go back to the commandments. No. His word is spirit and it is life. How many of you want to keep his word? How many of you want his spirit? How many of you want to have his life on the inside of you? Then keep his word. See, this is spirit and life. It's not a taskmaster. It's not, oh, I've got to go to church. And it's like, I don't want you if that's your attitude. You know, really, if you just cannot hardly drag yourself out of bed, how do I say this politely? I'm going to say this real politely. You're going to drag the church down because you don't want to be here. Well, I've got to go to church, you know. If I don't show up, can you imagine a pastor? I don't want to go to church this morning. I don't want to preach. I just like to sleep in. Why can't I sleep in one Sunday? I don't get any other day of the week. I'm going to sleep in on Sunday morning. And everybody else would come to church. Well, where's the pastor? Well, he just decided to sleep in today. Now, what kind of blessing would that give you? Right answer. But it's like, what he said, what's his issue? And if I showed up and said, well, I really don't want to be here today, you know, it's like, well, what's wrong? It's like, there's something out of whack there. I get to keep his word. Why? Because his word, when I keep his word, it energizes my spirit. It makes everything right around me. It'll organize my day. It'll organize my life. Oh, and it'll give me life. Amen. I'm just giving you a whole bunch of nuggets right now. But we've heard it say, because he says on here, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home or make our abode. We will live with him. Isn't that awesome? If we'll do these things, God says, I'll take up residence in your life. If you do these things, I'll live with you. Now, most of the time, and you hear this preached a lot of times, that we've heard it said that God has created people for fellowship. But it goes deeper than that. See, fellowship is when I go to your house and we sit in the living room and you give me some tea and we drink and we talk and we chat, and that's fellowship. You know, a lot of people are just content to have a sit-down talk with God. As long as God's in the room, as long as I know he's in my house, that's all I need to do. I can still go out and sin. I can still do everything else because I know I'm okay with God, because, you know, God comes and fellowships with me. It's kind of like, well, I'm saved enough to know that if I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we think sometimes, well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible says the devil does too. But he's still going to hell. I won't go on that, but think about it a little bit. Just because you say, I believe in God, that doesn't mean you're born again. That doesn't mean that you're saved out of any temporary situation. That just means you believe in God. Now you've come up to at least recognize reality. There is a God. Now what do you do with him? Now what do you do? See, God's deep is calling to your deep. But the first step is, I've got to recognize there is a God. But once I do, what am I going to do with him? Oh, let's just sit out and hang out on the back deck. Let's just spend a little bit of time on Sunday. We'll fellowship a little bit, but there's so much more than that. See, the problem is that sin caused the Spirit of God to depart humanity. Sin has created a barrier between us and God. go to 2 Corinthians 6. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 16, it says, for you, the last part of that, or the middle part of that verse, it says, for you are the temple of the living God. For what has... Oh, I'm ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Or some, the old King James has said, with unrighteousness. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? See, God cannot be yoked with unrighteousness. Our sin has created a barrier that God cannot abide with us because of the sin that has caused our separation. Now, understand, we died being separated from God. Our light became darkness, and our wisdom became foolishness because we were separated from God. We thought ourselves to be wise, but we really weren't. We thought ourselves to be spiritual, but we really weren't, because God wasn't part of our lives. Now, go down to 6:16. In the middle of that, it says, for you are the temple of the living God. Now, think about that. You are the temple of the living God. This is after being born again. But now here's the question. What makes you this you? In 6:16, it says, for you are the temple of the living God. What makes you a temple? What makes you right with God? Because in the temple, God dwells with you. What makes you this you that becomes the temple of God? Again, Jesus said in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our throne with him. He says, all you have to do is love me. In other words, listen, you don't have to get everything perfect. All I'm asking is you love me. Keep my word, because as you keep my word, you'll grow. As you keep my word, you'll walk in my spirit, and my life will begin to consume you. And I'll come and make my home in you. And when God comes and makes his home in us, because we're loving him, because we're keeping his word, we become that you that is the temple of the living God. Now that goes way beyond fellowship, doesn't it? That goes way beyond sitting in the throne room having iced tea with God. Because now that I'm the temple, God lives in the temple. When you have visitors over, and you hear this all the time, I was so glad for the visit. I was so glad they came. But boy, I was so glad when they left. Because now we can get back to normal. Listen, God wants to move into your house to never let it be normal again. This is a visitor that wants to set up his temple in you. This is the visitor that has come to stay. Oh, I don't mind God visiting me, but if he's going to stay with me, then I can't do. Yeah, that's right. If God's going to live with me, when Pastor Preval, this is telling a little bit, I like movies. I like the old movies. I like to watch those things. But when Pastor Preval's with us, we don't watch movies. Because he gets so little TV down there, we always have it on the Christian channel. So we're always piping in some of our favorite ministers. And he'll sit there and take notes, and he'll listen, and he'll just relax. And it's such a blessed atmosphere. And when he leaves, I go back to my movies. But if Pastor Preval were to live with me all the time, I would probably sell all my DVDs. You understand what I'm saying? See, as long as God comes for a visit, I'll clean up the house. I'll clean up my act. I'll do the things that I know are pleasing to him. But when God leaves, I'm going back to the way I used to be. Does this make sense? But if I know that God's going to come in my house and live there, then I understand there's things that I used to do that used to not bother me, but now I wouldn't do it because I don't want to be an embarrassment, because I don't want to make him uncomfortable. And I'm not saying that my movies would, but I'm just saying I just wouldn't do those things. If you, one of the rudest things when you visit people is when they won't turn the TV off when you sit down to talk with them. And sometimes I've had people that they're watching the TV and I'm trying to talk to them. They're watching the TV and I'm trying to talk to them and they're watching TV. And they can't hear me because the TV's so loud. And it's like, well, I guess I'll leave. We do that with God. We want to live the way we've always lived, knowing that God is with us, but we don't really want to deal with God, so we just keep the TV on. And pretty soon, God gets up and leaves the house. Oh, good preaching. Hallelujah. See, we're to love God. We're to keep his word. And he says if we do these things, he will come. The Father will love us. In other words, he wants to be there with us now because he's seeing everything is going well. And he'll make his home in you, and we become the temple of God. There's so many people, we're just happy to fellowship. As long as God has a visit, hallelujah. As long as I can go to church and just fellowship with God a little bit, I can go back home, hallelujah. But I don't have to change my lifestyle, but God wants to make you a temple. Yes. And he's doing it to help you. Yes. He's doing it to make you better. Yes. He's doing it to break the curses off your life, so that you'll be free of those things, never to be encumbered by them again. Yes. Hallelujah. He said, well, I want that. It's going to cost something. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. I mean, I give God my life from 10:30 in the morning till maybe 12. Maybe I'll go 12:30 on Sundays. I'll give him my life for that time. But when Sunday afternoon comes, it's mine. I'm taking it back. And then we wonder why God doesn't do more. Oh, okay. What distinguishes us from the world? What is it that really separates us? Listen, it's not our good deeds. It's not our works. It's the fact that the Almighty Eternal God has come and made his home in us here in the earth. What separates us is not that you're going to go to heaven when you die. What separates you is that you are a temple of God. Because even the world knows and understands temples. It's where you keep your treasure. It's where you keep your life. It's where you keep the things that are really extra precious to you. It's in the temple. And if we're the temple of God, that is what sets you apart, because now God has come and made his home on the inside of you. This goes way beyond fellowship. Amen. So go to, still in 2 Corinthians 6, go to 17. I love this. It says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. He says, come out from among them. Now for years we thought that meant that women had to wear prayer bonnets, or women couldn't wear slacks. Have you ever noticed, we always put the rules on the women. We never put rules on the men. But we put rules on all the women, because they're supposed, the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves. And boy, we took that literally. But the Greek says, husbands, submit yourselves as unto the Lord by loving your wife. Well, that's a form of submission. That's a form of, Lord, I'm going to let you love my wife through me. I'm going to let you show and display your kingdom come toward my wife through me. This is who I'm going to be to her. Why? Because I'm the temple of God. Because God lives in me, and God wants his way in me, so I'm going to love my wife. And men don't look at that as submission, but some need to. Amen? I mean, you didn't get married just for sex. Well, I know some of us did at the beginning, but even that shouldn't stay that way. Come on, I'm just being real. She's hot. She's good looking. We enjoy the physical contact. What are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to marry her. Yeah, but sex is supposed to come afterwards. You're supposed to have a relationship first before you have sex. The old saying is, even birds build a nest before they lay their eggs. And we've got people laying their eggs, and they've never built the nest yet. And then when it falls apart, well, no wonder. You got everything reversed. Everything's going backwards in your life. Why? Because you're not a temple of God. Because we've not taught these things. Now, it's almost to the point that if you teach young ladies that the best way to be poor for the rest of your life and uneducated and unable to hold a job is to be pregnant before you're 17. So we know it's a reality. But conventional wisdom says, well, you can't talk against girls having sex because, oh gosh, guys want it. So we're just going to go ahead and let them do it, and we're not going to put any holds on it, and we're not going to discriminate against anybody because we don't want anybody to think poorly of themselves. Well, when you're 17 and have a baby, 18 and have another baby, 19 and have another baby, you can't go to college, don't have an education, can't have a job because now you're stuck at home with three kids, unmarried, single, in poverty. Now do you feel sorry? Yes, they do. So is it better to maybe make somebody uncomfortable early to save them a life of despair, or just let them throw their whole lives out? Those are decisions. These are moral decisions that the world has no way of making because they don't know God. He says, come out from them and be separate. How are we separate from the world? It's not just that God lives in us. It's not just that we're his temple. But to be separate is to stop thinking like the world thinks. See, we believe and we see. The world sees and believe. Well, this is how everybody is, so everybody does it, so you can't change human nature. But see, we believe that human nature can change. We believe every sinner can be made righteous. We believe every sinner can be made whole and complete. We believe every disease can be healed. Now, we see that occasionally, but why do we see it at all? Because we believe. Because if we don't believe, we won't pray. We won't pray for the will of God to be done in your life because, well, this is what you have. Welcome to your lot in life. We'll just let you go to hell because, well, you know, what can we do about it? We can do a lot. We can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God has a plan for your life and he wants to bless you and wants you to come out of the situation that you're in. No matter what level you're at, God has something better for you. Did you hear that? No matter what level you're at, God has something better for you. So that means we're always growing, we're always expanding, we're always learning, we're always getting closer and closer to God. Amen? But we've got to stop thinking like the world thinks. The Bible says we are aliens, we are strangers in this world, that we are not of the, that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. And what really begins to set you apart is how you believe, is how you think about things. Jesus in John 8, 38 says this, I speak what I have seen. Go there with me to John 8. He says, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. John 8, 38. In verse 39, I love it, the people answered Jesus, and they said, but Abraham is our father. I mean, we're Jewish. We're Christian. We're this, we're that. So how can you say that you hear from your father, but we do what we have seen in our father, because our father is Abraham. Now listen, Jesus replies, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. In other words, if Abraham was your father, you would honor your father by doing his works. My dad was a pastor. Have I ever mentioned that before? My dad was a pastor. And the fifth commandment is to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh has given you. We honor our parents by imitating them. Oh, but my parents were really bad. Listen, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate God. And if I'm not imitating God, then don't follow me. Does that make sense? Honor your mother and your father is, I believe, honor the good things about them. Honor the things that are honorable. You don't have to, well, Dad was a thief, so I got to be a thief too if I'm going to. No, that's not what he's saying. Honor, honor the principle of fatherhood. Honor the principle of motherhood. Honor your father and your mother. Become imitators of them in the good areas of life. Because I'll tell you, there's no perfect parent. Parents don't get perfect till the kids are out of home and have kids of their own. Then the parents become perfect. Then the parents know what ought to be done. But until that time, everything is an experiment. Everything is trial and error. Most parents have no clue what they're doing, and it takes 20 years to figure out if it was right or wrong. And by then, you can't change it anyway. I always love the kids that say, well, my mom did this or my dad did this. Well, praise God, you are so smart, you can see their errors, so that means you never have to repeat their mistakes, right? Because you know what they did wrong. The problem is the kids use that for an excuse to do what they want to do because, well, I had bad parenting. We all had bad parenting. I don't go out and kill people because my parents weren't perfect. But some people use that for an excuse. Now, this shooter in Charlotte, they're trying to say now, well, he might have been abused as a child. Might have been? You don't know? See, they're trying to come up with excuses. Well, why would he do this? Well, the obvious excuse was, let's see, he was Muslim and was on a jihad. That's a principal reason right there. The fact that his parents might have abused him, well, gee, his father was on a terrorist watch list for several years. That means he's Muslim. I'm asking this as a question, are we associating child mistreatment with Islam because his parents mistreated him, so this is why he did that? See, we're always making excuses. You've got to be careful with excuses because excuses never make anybody accountable for their actions. And when you get to heaven, you cannot hide behind, well, my mommy beat me with a stick when I was four. No. God's going to say, what did you do with your life? We all had bad breaks, and we all have had opportunities. What you do with them reveals who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we honor our parents by imitating them, but our real parent is either God or the God of this world. That's who your real parent are. If you're born again, God's your father. Hello? If you're born again, God is your parent. The Father God, Yahweh, is your parent if you're born again. So we honor our parents by honoring God, by becoming like Him, by imitating who God is. Now, once you begin to do that, you can't say certain things. Can't say GD. Why? Because that's not who God is. It's not that it's cursing. It's that's not who God is. God doesn't damn people. God doesn't do that. You can't go around saying, well, God put this sickness on me or this disease. What? You can't say that. And once you get in a crowd of people and you say, my God doesn't do that, you have just separated yourself from the crowd. Even if you don't say it, if you don't think about it, if you think about it and say, that's not my God, you have just separated yourself from the crowd. See, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. In the temple, there's healing. In the temple, there's deliverance. In the temple, there's the power of God. So when someone says, well, God's not big enough to do that, no, that's not my God. And you separate yourself instantly. Listen to it this way. In churches, everybody loves God in churches. Oh, we all just want to get together. We all always just want to get along. We all want to fellowship with one another. We all want to just spend this wonderful time with one another and get to know one another. And you let God come in, and you let Him begin to heal people, and you find division real quick. Because some people want to fellowship with God, don't want Him to be, they don't want to become a temple of God. It's not God's fault. But God's drawn that line of distinction. He's drawn that line in the church today. Are we going to be a temple, or are we just going to fellowship with God? Are we going to be who God has called us to be, or are we just going to continue to play games? Or are we going to stand up and be counted, or just go along with the crowd? Are you just going to float downstream with all the other dead stuff? Or are you going to fight to go upstream? Fight against the things of this world and dare to be called a son or a daughter of God. Still in Romans 8, go to verse 42. Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me. What was Jesus said in John 14, 23? If you love me. He says, if God were your father, you would love me. See, this would be an automatic thing if God's your father. Now, doesn't that begin to separate right there? If God were really your father, if you're really born again, you would love Jesus. That means you would love His word. That means you would love the things that Jesus said. When we got born again, I didn't have a clue about God. I didn't know anything about God. We got baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. I still didn't know anything about God. I'd never heard about tongues. I didn't know anything about tongues. And we heard Kenneth Copeland on the radio. He said, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, you ought to be. And he just went on. I'm in seminary. And I looked at my wife and I said, what's tongues? We didn't know. So we started reading the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we found out tongues is in Acts, tongues is in this chapter and this book and Corinthians and the other things and Jude. And if you pray in the most holy tongues, you build up your faith. And it's like, I have no clue what this is at all. But Debbie and I both decided, God says this is important. We don't know what it is. We don't know anybody baptized in the Holy Spirit. We don't know anybody who speaks in other tongues. We have no one to go to that we are aware of to ask questions of. But God, you said this is important. And because, God, you said it's important, we are going to believe that we receive this gift of tongues, whatever it is, because it's important to you. Do you know you can get healed the same way? Well, Lord, I don't necessarily need to be healed. I'm okay to, I'm old and I've got cancer and I can die. And Lord, it's okay with me if it happens that way. But God, because you said to be healed, Lord, it's your will for me to be healed. So if I'm going to go home, God, I'm going to go home healthy. Now, that separates you. Lord, I receive your healing because you believe healing is important. See, we're always asking, well, what do you want? We should be asking, God, what do you want? See, God is our example, not our neighbor. Well, I know someone that they really witnessed to God, and they died of cancer, and they died a horrible death, and they really witnessed to God. Well, praise God that they gave witness to God. But couldn't you also get healed and be a witness to God? Does healing disqualify you from witnessing to God, witnessing for Him? It doesn't. It ought to give you a better standing. Hey, I was in the same spot, and God delivered me. Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony? Wouldn't it be neat to just lay down one day and say, God, you know, I'm just ready to go home. My life is satisfied, and I'm done. I don't think there's anything left for me to do, Lord, so I'm just ready to go home. And just shut your eyes. I heard the other day a person that had died and had spent an hour and 45 minutes dead, clinically dead, and God brought him back to life after an hour and 45 minutes. And he said, I want to tell you something. Dying is about half a blink. He said, once you close your eyes, you are with the Lord. He said, I didn't see a tunnel. I didn't see any of that. All I knew is I shut my eyes and I was with the Lord. An hour and 45 minutes in the world's time, he said, I woke up on the table and here I was back. It's that easy. It's just, why don't you just go home healthy? Wouldn't it be wonderful to call the kids in? Call all your friends in? You know, I'm going to go with the Lord now. I just want to say I love you. I appreciate you. But trust in God. I'm going to witness to you about salvation, give you my testimony, and then just lay back, close your eyes, and go. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And they'd all look at you. Where'd you go? He's with the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? Just go with the Lord. He said, we have to draw it out. We have to agonize. It's like, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying, if one can be a witness, why can't the other be a witness? See, I want to die satisfied, old and satisfied. I want to die happy. I want to preach, say amen at the altar call, and drop. And I hope some of you are still here to be astonished. And I hope some of you have enough faith to want to come back up and lay hands on me instead of just call 911. But if that happens, I'm not coming back. You can pray all you want to, but if it's up to me, I'm staying with the Lord. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? These things begin to, they separate you. See, Jesus said in John 8:42, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceedeth forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Now, have you ever looked at the world? Why can't you understand what I'm saying? I'm speaking clear. Why can't you understand? He said, because you are not able to listen to my word. Why do you, he says in 44, you are of your father. This is why they're not able to listen to the word that Jesus speaks. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Now, I'm not saying you're not born again, but I want to lay this before you. If we are the children of God and we honor our Heavenly Father, why do we argue with what He has said so much? It's a simple question. He said, if Abraham were your father, you would love me. I love God, but are we content to fellowship or are we ready to be transformed? Wisdom is calling out. But what does he say? He says, come unto me. That's what he said in the word on January the 4th. That's what he says in the scriptures. Jesus told the disciples, come unto me, follow me. He told the others, you got to let the dead bury the dead. You got to follow me. This is your job. You follow me. You come after me. You lay aside everything else and you follow after me. And so, we gave up our property. We gave up our wealth. He said, I'll give you more. But the key is follow me. It's not of what you gave up. It's the question is, will you follow Jesus? the rich young ruler, Jesus told him to give and sell everything that he has, and we use that as the epitome of faith. He said, well, I don't know if I can really do that. Listen, the only reason he told him that is because he trusted in his riches. That's what the Bible says. He could not give it up because he trusted in his riches. He didn't trust God to give him back more. I had a young man years ago, and he said, I want to go in the ministry. I said, fine. He said, what do I need to do? I said, go to seminary. I said, it may tear you apart, but you need to be educated. You need to go to school. He wouldn't do it. He said, I can't leave this land. I can't leave my home. There's not a seminary close. He said, I can't just pick up and go. I did. And God provided for us. We went to seminary. We went to school. Now, fortunately, we didn't have to move because God had a seminary in the town near where we were at. But I had to quit my job. I had to go to school full time. But God met all of our needs. He blessed us. See, the question wasn't, God didn't ask, well, what are you willing to give up? He asked, are you willing to follow me? I said, yes. So I laid everything down and followed after God. And we have lived a life of blessing. I'm telling you, we've lived a life of blessing because we dared to follow after God. But some people will only follow God for so far because that's all they can believe for. Because they can't believe for the much, they can only believe for a little more. And so where you stop believing is where you stop. Because you can't believe for more than that. We need to increase our level of believing, and we do that by honoring God and His Word. When we come unto Jesus, we are born again. We're literally born from above. We say that our spirit was born again, but really the Holy Spirit of God has gained entrance into us again. Yahweh can now have residence in us. Our spirit man was dead to God. We could not know who God was. We could process information, but we couldn't know who God was. In the new birth, we can know who God is. We can abide with Him. I know I'm a little bit long, but let me give you a couple verses. Ephesians 3. Go there with me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Paul writes to the church, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with tiny little operational, timely gifts of God. You're shaking your head. Did I misread that? That you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you could occasionally come in and fellowship with God in church on Sunday mornings and feel good about it. What does it say? That you may be filled, listen, with all the fullness of God. That's what separates us. When you start believing, God dwells in me. When Debbie and I came to the reality that we were born again, that we could have confidence in our new birth, we didn't understand it. We didn't really understand what took place, but we got to that point where we believed that we were born again and we could say we were born. It separated us. It separated us from the people that we grew up with because, well, you can't really, that's pride to say that you're born again, that you know that you're born. No, it's not. It's assurance in God. It's not boasting about what I've done. It's boasting on what God has done for me, that He died, that I could be made whole, that I could be born again. And I've given my life to Him, and I'm trusting in God that He has caused me to be born again. Now I can know Him. Well, what do you know about Him? At that time, not much. But at least I had it figured out. We could know and have confidence in God that we can be born again. And that was the beginning of it. But it separated us from certain people because, well, now you're just getting prideful. No, I'm just getting biblical. I'm just now believing who God is. Still in Ephesians. See, let me say this. You cannot think like the world and believe this to be filled with the fullness of God. You cannot think, I want to say it again. You cannot think like the world thinks and believe that you're filled with the fullness of God. It distinguishes you from the world. This is why Yahweh says, come out from among them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to the measure, to the measure, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. He's given us a fivefold ministry until we come into the agreement of faith, the unity of faith, till we come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Not the fullness of our denomination, not the fullness of our doctrine, but the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. I want to expand our minds. I want to expand our thinking, because we are so trapped, and not just us, humanity, Christians, are so trapped in the way the world thinks that we have put a box on God. And when you start saying we are filled with the fullness of God himself, the fullness of the Godhead, people say, no, you guys better be really careful. No, we're just being biblical. Is it radical? You bet. Was Jesus radical? Yes. Were his disciples radical? Yes. What did they do? Turn the world right side up. Because this is the way we're supposed to think. We were created in God's image, not to have fellowship with him, but to be like him. To walk with God in the cool of the garden. To become one with him, spirit, soul, and body. That we would know who God is. And Jesus came back to make us righteous, to make us holy, that we can't go in because of our sin, but we can go in because of who Jesus is, that he has gone before us and he has purified us and he has said, come, 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 follow me. Where's Jesus going? To the Father. He says, you follow me. I'll take you to the Father. I'll take you into this realm. I'll take you into this spiritual, supernatural realm that you can have in the earth. In the earth, this is what God wants us to have. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this? We need to grow. We need to expand our thinking. Whatever limits you've put on God, you need to begin to take them off. Just say, God, I'm not thinking like the world. I'm going to think according to the scripture. And when you come across a scripture that is just so impossible to believe, just say, I choose to believe it. I choose to put this in operation in my life. I choose to be this way, to not walk according to the world, but I'm going to walk in God. Father, come into our hearts, God. We open ourselves up to you. Father, make us realize the power of your word, the spiritual emphasis, the spiritual ability of your word to change and transform us from this life, Father, into the life of God. Father, Jesus told us, have the God kind of faith. Lord, help us. We want to believe, but God, help our unbelief. We want to do what's right in your eyes, God. We want to please you. We want to have all those things for us, God, because you deem them to be important. Lord, it's not pride that causes us to seek after these things. It's your spirit compelling us, drawing us, Father, into the fullness of the manifestation of God. Lord, that we would be like the disciples, that we would walk in, and Lord, we would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. We would cast out demons and they would go. Father, that our shadow, wherever it goes, Father, would heal the sick. God, that your power would flow through us because you have made residence in us, God. Let your will be known. Let your will be done and accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.